Are you ready for the message tonight? Winston said something very important, because when we have evangelists, most of the messages seem to be very basic for a church member, especially those who have been who have been newborn Christians for 10, 20, 30, or 50 years. And I've heard people come to me, not here, some other places that I have conducted, and they say, "Pastor, but you're preaching about something we know already." Yes, my brother, that's true, and I'm happy you know that. But this message are prepared for your friends, from your neighbors that don't know the Lord yet. We have someone else. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And this message is prepared, but in many cases, it is good to go back and to review what we already know, and to confirm our faith that comes from the Word of God. So the message we have tonight for you is how to start your life over again. When you talk to little children and you ask their age, what is their tendency to say? If they're four, I'm four and 10 months, I am almost five. They always want to look older, right? They're always looking forward to graduation. They all look forward to being able to get to have their driver's license. I remember, it seems that it was yesterday, I was 15, and in Brazil, in order to get your driver's license, is 18. 3 years seem to be an eternity. I said, I still have 3 long years to get my driver's license. I've been driving for 25 years. That's a long time. Let me see, 20. Help me. That's why I'm a pastor. I'm not a mathematician. Yes, I'm 40, 44. I'm going to be turning 45. Yes, and by the way, we will look forward, but now, when you reach your 40s, you start looking back. You're almost 45 and you see, oh, let me see, I'm 43, yes. The last time I, yes. And you look back. And how many of us, we look back, we look to our past and say, whoa, those times were good, right? Oh, I remember those times. And I'm just playing on my car now some songs of the old heritage singers. You remember those? We are the reason that he gave his life. Remember that? That's the 80s, yes. I was just a kid. I was like Ryan when I used to hear that song, those songs. And I was, wow, those were good days, the past. But how many of us, I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many look to your past and you have so many things to regret? So many things that you liked, you could change. So many things that you'd like to do over again. If you were able to go to a place in the middle of the desert where nobody can go, and you dig a big hole deep and you put these pasts right there and you just bury it, And you could forget it. Right? Wow, I'm sure that everybody has those things in life that you'd like to just forget about it. And you wish you could start over again. And let me tell you, the Bible tells that it is possible to do that. It is possible to do that. And let's see what Jesus said in Matthew 28. So reach the Bible in front of you, of your phone or your iPad. Go ahead. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Many of you could say it by heart, right? But let's read, and I would like a volunteer with the voice of a thunder read that to us. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Amen. You know, always our last words are very important. When someone is about or know that will die soon, they always have some words to say. Probably to the wife, to the husband, to the children, but always want to make sure they say something. Last words are very remarkable. And those who listen tend never to forget. And Jesus' last words on the earth was very important, very remarkable. And we find it in Matthew 28. And he said that his disciples should go and make other disciples. They should go and make other followers. Very important. And they should what? Baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to do all things that they themselves had learned from the Master. They should share it. So baptism is very important to Jesus. It is very important that he, even before, just minutes before ascending to heaven, he said, go and make disciples and baptize them. It is very important. It is so important that in the New Testament, we see it more than 80 times, just in the New Testament, the commandment to go and baptize or baptism or those who baptized. So the New Testament writers, they emphasize the importance of baptizing. Why is this so important? How important this is? Let's go to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 5. And you keep that in mind that after that we're going to read Mark 16:16, and we will see how important it is, baptism. A volunteer to read, please. Okay. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus say, I'm telling you the truth. And write it down. Don't forget it. Jesus emphasizes those, you can only enter the kingdom of God. You can only inherit eternal life if you're born again of the water through baptism and of the Spirit. Both must go together. Let's go now to Mark, the Gospel of Mark 16, chapter 16 and verse 16.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
Those who believe and be baptized will be saved. Very direct words from the Master. Very, very important, very demanding. Believe and be baptized. You cannot just be baptized if you don't believe. Doesn't make any difference. But you have to believe. When you believe, you have to be able to go public, you declare before God's church, before His people, and say, I believe and I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and publicly, I am baptized. I remember I was giving Bible study to this lady in Canada. And it was an interesting story because I received her name, her address, as someone who was desiring to study the Bible. I got that from It Is Written. They called me and say, this lady, this home, they want to receive Bible study. And when I visit them, the lady opened the door and I said that I am the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, look at me and say, where have you been? Where have you been? I've been waiting you for 3 years already. And I was so sad that I was just receiving her name. And she said, my husband, he was the one who requested you to come and visit and give us Bible study. He has died. And it's been 6 months already that he died. Awful, right? When you receive that. And I apologized. I couldn't justify. And I apologized, and we start studying the Bible. But when we got to this study, and I said, you see what Jesus say here? We must be born again of the water and the Spirit, and those who believe must be baptized. And she said, okay, Pastor, I believe, I accept, but I'm too old for those things. My time has passed long ago, and I don't want to be baptized. I believe. And I couldn't convince her that she should be baptized. She said that she went to talk to her pastor from another denomination, and the pastor said, that's okay. You don't need it. Just do a profession of faith, and you're okay. I said, well, we do have profession of faith, but we do profession of faith of those who have been in the past, sometime in the past, baptized in water. Have you ever been baptized? No, Pastor. But I don't want to. And I had to respect that. But the words of Jesus are very clear. Those who believe and be baptized will be saved. And those who don't believe won't be saved. Very clear. Jesus, it does not create any confusion with the Word of God. It's how important it is. Very, very important. But I am sure that you have heard people come and say, well, Pastor, I was baptized. Although I don't remember because I was just a baby when I was baptized. My mom and my dad brought me to church and they sprinkled some water on my head and I was baptized. Or there are people that are baptized, they just pour water on their heads as babies and they're baptized. And even as grown up, they just pour some water on their head. And I've heard about it, that there is also a baptism called the Rose Petals Baptism. Have you heard about it? Rose, it's, am I pronouncing it correct?
Rose Petals.
Rose Petals Baptism. And I search the internet and I see that some churches are using, trying to avoid probably the cold water, trying to avoid and inventing new ways. But we are the people that follow the Bible, right? You want to be baptized as the Bible tells you to be baptized. And let's see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Let's see what Paul says. How many methods of baptism there is? How many methods there are, actually? Let's see. I volunteer to read Ephesians 4, verse 5.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Oh, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And here is not talking about how many times you can baptize, but here is it's talking about the method, the way, the form of baptism. And Paul is very clear, there is only one. And let's find out what that is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And after we read, you stay there in chapter 3, okay? A volunteer, please. All Jerusalem, Judea, and all the nation was going where? To the Jordan, in the desert. To the Jordan to see whom? John the Baptist, the Baptists. And they were moving, thousands of people were going and coming to him and listening to the message and responding to his call to be baptized. And they were being baptized where? In the Jordan. Why in the Jordan? Because there was much water there where they could be baptized. So baptism needs to happen where there are much water. It can't be just some drops of water or sprinkling or pouring. It must be a complete immersion in water. So what happened then? Who came to be baptized? Verse 15, the same chapter, verse 15. Who came? Jesus. It says that Jesus came to be baptized, and when he approached, he came, John could see him, and he could identify Jesus, and he said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus came to be baptized, and John said, "Whoa, wait a minute. You? No! I should be baptized by you. I can't baptize you." And Jesus said, "Wait, it must happen this way. We must fulfill God's purposes. In order to fulfill all righteousness, I better be baptized." So John consented and Jesus was baptized. If Jesus, a holy man with no sin, not even tendency to sin, gave us the example. He came and he was baptized. What about me? I must be baptized. What about you? We all must be baptized. Because Jesus gave us the example. If he, being so pure and holy, was baptized, much more myself. And you can tell about you. When we are baptized, there's something that happens. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. What happened when Jesus was baptized? What does it say? Mini. So the first part of the verse says that how Jesus was what? Anointed with the Holy Spirit. If and power. This is very important because that happened when Jesus was baptized. If we continue reading Matthew chapter 3, we see that when he walked out the water, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And the voice of God was heard. And what did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Ryan, remember when you were baptized? That day, the Lord looked down at you and said, oh, this is my son Ryan, whom I'm well pleased. I'm so happy. I'm so proud for him because he decided to come and publicly declare that he believes in me, he accepts me as his Savior, and then God gives you the Holy Spirit and give you power. You know, we always read that we receive the Holy Spirit and power. What kind of power is that? Did you feel that when you baptized, you received power? Do you today use that power that was given to you when you were baptized? What is this power? What is this power? Hard question, right? We have this power, and sometimes we don't know. Because Jesus, he was baptized, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So when we are baptized, we are anointed with Holy Spirit. And if we believe that, oh, we must look up and say, Lord, where is the power? Where is this power? You know, the Greek word for power, does anybody know what that word is? Dunamos. And when you say dunamos, comes another word in mind. Dynamite. Dynamite. Dynamite is tremendous power, right? If you know how to use it. I remember a pastor telling in the church where he was pastor, Pastor Bullion, said when he was starting his ministry, he was a pastor in a small church in a very rural village. And near the church, there was a lake. And he came to preach. And always while he was preaching, there were a group of young people that instead of being inside, they were outside.